Good evening to everyone. It's good to meet with you again as we meet together to study from God's word, precious truth that he has given to us. We thank God for his word. We thank him that he would love us enough to give us his word. What a precious, precious gift, God's word to man. And because it is God's word, he is the writer, he's the author, he's the teacher, he is the interpreter, he is the one that leads us along the way. He knows the portion of food that we need for every day. And when we say, give us this day our daily bread, that includes so much. Also, it includes the portion of spiritual food that we need for a day or for a season in our lives. So we pray that the Lord would give us, even as we sit together at his word, and we're sitting at a meal, we feed on him. You know, the word of God is the living word of God, it's the written word. The word is written, but it's the living word. And Jesus himself is the bread of life. His word is spirit, and his word is truth. You can read the Bible all day, cover to cover, back and forth. But unless the Spirit of God opens our eyes, we will never see, we will never truly understand. It is a spiritual book, must be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you talking about when you're reading God's word, depending on him to be the teacher, you really have to depend on him. Some of you have been with me in study for years, years and years and years. Even like I see Sister Rochelle Cross's name, we studied together as teenagers. I am no teenager now. I am well past teenage years, along with a bunch of you. But we have been studying God's word together. And we have grown together in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are all still learning. We're all still growing. And we grow together in grace. I know, and I hope you all know, I know I'm not a perfect teacher. And I want you all to know that I am growing. And then even the portion that God has given to me, there's only so much time in an hour to say so much. And we are moving along rapidly in our study. I do take time to pause when the Spirit says pause. And he's not really telling me that for the most part now. He wants us to move on in Luke. So we will be still in Luke. We're going to slow down somewhat in Luke chapter 17 this evening. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. And we'll probably be in this passage several weeks. But each one of these passages, matter of fact, every verse of the Word of God, you could never exhaust it. You can spend forever, quote, in one verse, such as in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who can exhaust that? And then you go on and on and on. So I just want you to, you ought to be aware of that. Bear with me in patience. Pray for me as your teacher. And I know you have other people you study under, and you may and you may not. But always be discerning and prayerful with anyone that's, quote, that you're sitting under in Bible study. You have to pray for them. You have to pray for you. You have to pray for discernment. You have to pray for truth. You have to pray, Lord, give me what you want me to say. You have to be praying always, Lord, is this your voice? Is this your voice? And I'm praying that constantly as a teacher, because I am a teacher. I put that with a small t, but God has called me to teach. But I do say it knowing that God himself is the teacher. But he has called me to teach, and I know that too. But I know I've got much to learn, much room for growth. So we bear with one another, amen? And we grow together. So, and we learn from each other. We are the body of Christ, and we grow together. We're knit together in love, holding the head, which is Jesus Christ. And in your studying, in your reading, in your praying, in all of that, always remember, it's about the Lord. It's about Jesus Christ and him being glorified. It's about being conformed to his image. Because if you're not careful, and this was one of the things with the Gnostics and others, you can get so caught up in reading the Bible and Bible study. And I have to be careful with that because I am a Bible teacher. I do love the Word of God. I love studying the Word of God. I mean, God just, that's part of my call. He gave me this love for his Word. But we are to love him. And it's a difference. You know, he and his Word are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But having said that, there are some that just love Bible study. Well, that could be good, but we have to love him. We love the Lord, and we get to know him through his Word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, that's why we're here, that we might know you and that we may be conformed into the image of your Son. And that's done not by power, Lord God, and not by human wisdom. It has to be done by the Spirit of God. And so we yield ourselves to you and we say, Our Father. And we thank you that you are our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray this evening that by your Spirit, that you will lead each of us. Yes. Feed us, Lord. Give us the portion of food that you have for each one of us. And I stand amazed. I never get over how, Lord, you can take one meal, one word, one verse. And when you get done feeding us, Lord, you give to one this, you give it to another one that. Some are young in the faith, others are more mature in the faith, but we grow together. We grow together in grace. And so wherever we are on our spiritual journey, we're trusting you, God. We are trusting you as our leader, as our teacher. We are disciples. We are still disciples. We are still learning. We are still follow Jesus. That's what he told us to do. Follow me. Learn of me. Take up my cross. Follow me. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And then over and over again, the Old Testament says, take heed. The Old Testament says, hearken. The Old Testament says, listen, over and over again. And it's the same in the New Testament. And so we pray, Lord, by your Spirit, Spirit of the living God, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to us individually and what the Spirit has to say to us collectively. As the church, we give you praise. We ask you to forgive us of our sins And anything that would hinder us from learning and receiving from you, Lord God, we pray reveal it. We pray to bring us if we're where we're in darkness, Lord. If we're in any area of darkness, lead us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We want to walk with thee, hand in hand, step by step, listening to the Lord and ready to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant listens. And so that's what we're doing this evening. We thank you for one another, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And they don't know just how much of strength they are to me. So I pray for my brothers and my sisters in Christ. We pray for one another that you will continue to strengthen us all. We love you. And now we look forward to hearing what you have to say to each one of us. We pray for the absent part of us, for those who want to be with us and could not, cannot, for whatever the reason. We pray your blessings upon them in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, I'm going to take another minute to say we pray for each other's needs and for those who are going through severe trials at this time, that you will increase strength and that you will give us all power to stand. And having done all to stand, therefore. So we stand, Lord, now in the power of your might. Waiting to receive from you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Good evening to everyone. And I'm going to ask if everyone would kindly put yourselves on mute. Today, we're going to continue in our study. Oh, happy Mother's Day to all you beautiful mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. You are a gift from God. Mothers are a gift from God. So we express God's blessings to each one of you. We pray that indeed you have had a happy Mother's Day. And we pray that you will be a blessing in the earth as a mother. That is a calling from God. Everybody's not a good mother. Just because someone's a mother doesn't mean they're a good mother. But we know there are plenty of good mothers. And as Christians, the calling is even higher. So I just want to say happy Mother's Day to each one of you, whether your mother, grandmother, greats, or whatever capacity you may serve in that area. Happy Mother's Day. Okay, today we're going to continue in Sister Ann with us this evening. Kristen, I don't see her here, but we want to continue to keep our Sister Ann in prayer. Sister Ann Christian, as you all know, most of you know, she was in the hospital for about 3 weeks. And last I knew, she was released from the hospital yesterday. But we want to be sure to keep Sister Ann Christian and others in prayer. Amen. Okay. So today we're going to continue on in our study of Luke, and we'll be looking at Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read in its entirety chapter 17, verses 20 to the end of the chapter. Today I will be giving an overview somewhat of those verses. It's not an exhaustive study. None of this teaching that I'm doing is exhaustive right now. There are exhaustive studies, but this will be a general overview and looking at, and we'll be perusing these verses. What is in these verses in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20 to the end? We do have several readers that I have asked if they would read a portion of scripture for us, and they will be our readers for their verses. On this evening, Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 25, Sister Sharon Young is our reader, and I'm asking each one of them to be ready to read their verses when it is their turn, which is coming up pretty shortly here. And then Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 31 is Sister Sadie Cole. She will be our reader for verses 26 through 31. And to end the chapter for us, Deacon Wendell Young, Luke chapter 17, verses 32 through 37. So those are our readers for this evening, and we'll see how the Lord leads in the coming weeks. I do classroom purposes, or if you're asked to read publicly here, I do ask if you would read from the New King James Version, even though you may use another version of the Bible, but that we might be all on one accord, and it just makes it easier if you would read from the New King James. Okay, without further ado, let's go into Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. And if Sister Sharon Young is ready, Sharon, would you unmute yourself and read your verses? Then the next person, Sister Cole, be ready to start at verse 26. And then Deacon Young, be ready to start at verse 32. Amen. Okay.
Amen. Amen. Okay, starting at verse 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees.
Sister Sharon, let me stop you a minute. Just in case someone didn't know, Luke chapter 17. And I already said that, but let me say it again. Luke chapter 17, Sister Young will be starting at verse 20. Okay, Sister Young.
Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Miss Sadie?
Okay. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back.
Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there would be two men in one bed. The one would be taken, and the other would be left. two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men in the field, the one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together."
Amen. Okay, so we all say amen to the word amen. Of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, that's
amen.
The passage that we'll be reading, studying, praying from and see what the Lord has for us for the next several weeks. In verse 20, it starts out here, and these verses, there still is a context. It's not separated from entirely from the other verses. Actually, God's word is one. It all fits together in one way or another. We see in verse 20, and I'm just going to go through this passage. We're overviewing, trying to see what's in this passage. We've read it, so let's look at it a little closer. We read it, but now we need to slow down some. So we find out, first of all, the narrator, which we know is Luke. Luke is the one that has penned these words. Luke is the one that God chose by his spirit to be the writer, as it were. Not the author, but the writer. So Luke here goes on with the narrative. And Luke says in verse 20, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.'" So when we look at just those two verses right there, well, if I were to ask, what do you think the topic is? What is this discussion or this teaching going to be about? Well, we notice the words that appear three times in these two verses. And those words or the phrase or the title is the kingdom of God. Verse 20 has in it when the kingdom of God would come. And then verse 20, back to back, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Then again, see here or see there, the kingdom of God is within you. So I think we can all see without any argument. We may not be able to understand it all, or we're going to definitely need God to teach us this, but we do know the topic is about the kingdom of God. And the discussion per se on the table that was set on the table was asked by the Pharisees. Now, this is the first time the Pharisees have been on the scene for a while. They have been on the scene for quite a while, even for chapters. But now they show up, here they are again. And they ask, now when he was asked by the Pharisees, the discussion is, or the question is, when the kingdom of God would come. So it's like, well, we know there is the kingdom of God. That's not the question. The question is, when will the kingdom of God come? When will the kingdom of God come? That's their question. And the kingdom of God, huge topic. And to some degree, the kingdom of God really, depending on what aspect you're looking at, it includes everything. But there's different aspects to the kingdom of God. So we're going to keep it limited to stand with what's in these verses here. And they wanted to know when the kingdom of God would come. Well, by virtue of the words, when you look at the words, Well, we know automatically. Well, I may not know what all this kingdom of God is about, but one thing I do know just from reading the words that we're talking about a king. This has to do with a king. This has to do with a king, and logically it follows a kingdom. A king and a kingdom. I mean, it's a sad king that doesn't have a kingdom. So we're talking about the king and the kingdom, which is the place or the territory over which that king rules. The rule of the king and the reign of a king over persons, places, things, times, ultimately over it all. But we're talking about the king. The kingdom, the place of rulership, the kingdom of God, when the kingdom would come. Well, that should ring a bell, as it were, with all of us, especially those who have been in church a while, have grown up in church. We have been praying for many years, some of us. And one thing we have been praying is, we say it quite often is in our prayers, we say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Then we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so this kingdom is nothing new being talked about. It's a topic that Jesus talked about. He is the king of the kings. But we're going to be looking at it closer as we proceed in our passage. The kingdom of God. The Pharisees wanted to know, when would it come? Well, Jesus comes back, and we'll say this kingdom of God, they were looking for an outward show, an outward kingdom, something they could see and something they could touch and something they could say, there it is. There's the kingdom of God, something tangible and something visible. Hence, we have Jesus's response in verse 20. "And Jesus answered them, and he said, the kingdom of God, it doesn't come with observation." In other words, this kingdom here of God, you're not going to see it with the natural eye. It's real. It's very real. It's more real than anything you can see with the natural physical eye, but it does not come by looking. It does not come, verse 21, verse 20, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You can't get out binoculars and find the kingdom of God, get a map, an atlas, a telescope, or none of that, and find the kingdom of God, because it's not with observation. Can't be seen like that. Verse 21, "Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." So Jesus lets us know this kingdom of God that is being talked about in these verses. Now there is and will be the outward, visible, seen to all, the kingdom of God. The time will come where every knee shall bow. Well, who every knee bowing to? Every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Who's everyone bowing to? Well, it would be to the Lord, the King. But we're not talking about that aspect right now. Right now, verse 21 has to do with this invisible kingdom of God. So you can't say, see here, here it is. See there, there it is. No, no one can say, there it is. Now, this really, you may say, oh, well, that's That's obvious. Well, no, not really, because when you think about it, a lot of people have been fooled by someone saying, I'm going to show you where the kingdom of God is. You have to go to such and such a place, or you have to follow a certain leader, or you have to do certain things, and I will take you to the kingdom of God if you follow me. And so this really, this passage is warning us, don't, if anybody's saying, I'm going to show you where the kingdom of God is, I'm going to take you to the kingdom of God, I'm one of those prophets who knows where God's kingdom is, that is a red light to us, to all of us. Don't be deceived, because the Bible has already let us know the kingdom of God is within us. It is an invisible spiritual kingdom. Now you can think of like the church, and we're members of the church, those of us who have been born again. Now I need to clarify, because even when we say the church, well, there's different aspects of the church. For example, some of you know this, others may not. We're all learning. When we think of the church, there is the true church. The true church. Well, if there's a true church, evidently there must be what? A false church. And that's true. There is the true church headed by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the false church, which comes along counterfeiting. Counterfeiting everything that the Lord, the true God, does, tries to counterfeit, and does a great job. So this kingdom that we're talking about the true kingdom of God. But it's on there's different aspects of the kingdom, just like I said with the church. Well, with the church, when you say the church, some of you picture buildings. You picture whatever Episcopal church, First Baptist church, First Presbyterian church, Church of the Living God. You may picture these churches. Well, what are you picturing? Physical buildings? But then there's what? There's the people. The people in the building or in the sanctuary or whatever you call it. Well, that's the, to some degree, I'll say, the visible church, but the true church, that true born again, bought with the blood of Jesus church, it's a real church, it's a spiritual church. Now, I, Velma Sanders, and I trust most, if not all of you, are members of the true church. And there's one thing to be in a church, a physical, local church. That's another term. There are local churches. And we, like me, I'm a member of a local church, meaning I join the church and I agree to follow up under, you know, the rules, per se, authority of that pastor and the teachings of that church. Well, you can do that, but not be part of the true church. The true church, there's only one way to enter it, and it is through you must be born again. That's the only way to get in the true church. It comes through new birth, through the blood of Jesus. And I believe our hymn for the morning at Salem, of which I'm a member, local church, it was Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And then it goes on to say, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. So we want to make sure we're part of the true church. Now, a whole lot could be said about that, but we're talking about the kingdom. Now, that's different. It says the kingdom of God. So then you say, well, what is this kingdom of God? Well, the king, when you think of the king and the kingdom, you think automatically of rulership, rule, So we're talking about now kingdoms. And we've heard the song, kings and kingdoms may all pass away. But there's something about that name. And ultimately, the Lord, he is the King of kings, Lord of lords. So we're not talking about the church, even though I mentioned the church. Even though I mentioned the church, praise the Lord for the church, which is on this earth today. The church, the true church, false churches here too. But God, in this dispensation of time, is working through what is the church. Now, there was a time, let me deviate for a minute. The church, meaning an assembly, a people that God has called, a called out group, the church. But that church of which we are part did not come into existence in time. The church did not come into existence until the day of Pentecost. That's the day that the church was born. You know, the church was born on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was formed. There will be a time, and when the church is formed, that puts us in what we call the church age. And we are part of the church age right now. The church age will eventually come to an end. Will the kingdom end? No. Things will keep on going. Just like before there was the church. And you all know a lot happened before Acts chapter 2. Yeah, chapter 2. That's when the church was born. Is that right, you all? Acts chapter 2. Let's see. Let me look. I'm going to make sure it's not Acts chapter 1. I think it's Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Let me make sure. Acts chapter 2, which says, Acts chapter 2, and some of you all know this, so you could unmute yourself and say where that verse is. Acts chapter 2 lets us know
verse 1.
That's it. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, without going into a lot more, that's the form, the start, the birth date of the church. But look how much is in this Bible that we study from that happened before Acts chapter 2. Whole lot of things. All of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, all of that has happened before the church. And then the time will come where the church will be removed from the earth. And then God will go on with other things upon this earth, such as tribulation period, the millennial kingdom, the actual coming of the Lord, a lot more to happen. So this church that we're part of, and I don't know why I'm spending so much time on this, we're really not talking about the church. I'm trying to get to, we're talking about the kingdom of God, which is including, it's including because it is the kingdom of God. So it's broader, it's bigger. It includes to some degree the church, but this kingdom, by virtue of the word, the kingdom, we're talking about something else and something wider. Now, still the church, the true church, is still invisible. It's invisible. It's spiritual. And the only way to get into it is by the new birth. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, when someone says to you, oh, here's the kingdom, there's the king, or you can go to such and such a land and put on whatever robe or whatever, and you can get into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, no, The kingdom of God is invisible. It is spiritual. You don't get there like that. The kingdom of God is, where is it? He says, it's within you. And that's that new birth, being born again into the kingdom of God. Okay? So the kingdom of God, Jesus has let us know that it is within you. So we don't look for outward things. That's how people get deceived, trying to see things. And so now in verse 22, the scripture goes on, and then Jesus says to his disciples, because see, verse 20, he's talking to, he was asked by the Pharisees. Well, that's okay, of course. He was asked by the Pharisees. But when we get to verse 22, Jesus now turns his attention and he responds to his disciples, his followers. And he says to his disciples, now I want you all to notice there's a lot in these verses. We're going to keep seeing about times. And you notice in verse 22, when you're going to notice a lot of time words in this passage. In verse 22, it says, Jesus said to the disciples, the days, notice that, days, plural, will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. So now we see, well, we're talking about prophecy. Well, what does prophecy mean? Prophecy means to foretell or to forthtell. Prophecy can look backwards. Prophecy can also look forward. But usually prophecy is you think of future things. A lot of times, though, prophecy also looks backwards. And we're going to see that in this chapter that we're in now, in Luke chapter 17, where we're going to see, well, it's looking backwards. We're going to see things that have already happened. But it's also looking forward. We're going to see things that will happen. And all of that is in this passage. So verse 22, Jesus says to his disciples, the days are different time frame and it's prophecy. The days will come. Well, you know, that's future tense. That's what it appears to be. And it is on the surface. But when we keep looking, we're going to find out this is kind of swiveling. And the picture the Lord gave me when I was studying and preparing, swivel. And I kept thinking of a spinning top, some going round and round, and comes back around. And there's a lot of that in this passage. So it says in verse 22, the days will come, prophecy, the days, a period of time, will come when you will desire one of the days of the Son, one of the days when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. So that's one, verse 23. But then let's go on to verse, that was 22. Let's go on to verse 22. And they will say to you, Jesus is foretelling, he's letting the disciples know, this is what's going to be said to you. And they will say to you, look here, or look there. Well, didn't we just read those words in verse 21? In verse 21, it said, they will say, see here or see there. See, Jesus already told them that. Jesus already said that. But in verse 23, it says, they will say. I'm telling you, they said it back then. They're going to say it again. Verse 23, and they will say to you, look here or look there. And Jesus warning, and who's he warning? Well, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us, even us in this church age today. He's talking to us. Verse 23, and they will say to you, look here or look there. The warning is, do not go after them or follow them. Well, you may ask, why not? Well, Jesus already told us why not. That's in verse 21. You don't go after them and you don't follow them because the kingdom of God is within you. It's spiritual. We follow the Lord through the Spirit of the Lord, by the word of the Lord. We don't follow people. We follow the Spirit of the Lord in the way that he leads us and guides us. And I'm not saying we separate ourselves from people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this spiritual kingdom and the church of which we're part of, it does not come with observation. All right. So verse 23, they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. Now, to some of you, this may seem far-fetched. Who would do that? Well, you can see it on the news. Some of you have experienced it. It happens all the time where people follow people. They come with different titles, and the chief weapon here is deception. That's the chief thing going on in here, is deception. Because that's what's the one of the main tools of the devil. And that's how he entered sin in the beginning, is through deception and through lies. And so one of the deceptions and Satan's main tools is to fool people. How? When one major tool he uses is to get people following people or following signs or following something outside of what the word of God has spoken, even while maybe using the word of God. Now, I have experienced this in my life. Everybody has a different journey. All of us have things we can share, even on this topic. Some of you are just starting out your journeys. Others are further along. But I can remember without spending a lot of time on it. But I do want to mention it because it's part of my journey. And I can remember, and I had I still do, a love for the Lord, a love for his word. I wanted to be where the Lord wanted me to be. And I wanted to follow him sincerely from the heart. And there was a time, and there's a person out here in Zoom who was with me. I think we were together with others back then. And it was like around Easter time, resurrection time. And someone was saying, telling us, if you go to wherever we went, to some riverbank, outdoors somewhere, go to some river or water or whatever, and we would see Jesus. Well, I want to see Jesus. I really want to see him. So I was sincere. I was sincerely deceived. This is part of my journey. And part of why God led me this way is to warn others. Because these things are real. And it was under, I had a love for God, a zeal for God, wanting to know God. But I hadn't grown to the point where you don't go here or there looking for the Lord. It ain't like that. God is spirit. You don't go here, there, nowhere looking for Jesus. But anyway, here I go, along with other believers. Now, one of those believers who's out here with us tonight, and if she wants to jump in at any point, I'll let her. I don't have any problem because this would be the time to say it. God had given her enough discernment back then to know, something wrong with this. Praise the Lord. That's why I say people have different journeys. They have different experiences. And I had my experience. She had hers. We're still together with the Lord, following the Lord. But we ain't looking, we ain't going to nobody's river looking for nothing. So anyway, I did that. Long story short, in time, God had to show me you were deceived. That was wrong. Even calling myself looking for Jesus. So my sister I've been referring to, would you like to say a few words right now? If not, I will keep going. Okay, then I'm going to keep going. There's a lot more could be said, it may come out later. So in verse 22, the days will come. Prophecy. These things will happen. You will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. Verse 23, and they will say to you, look here, look there. Don't go after them. Don't follow them. I had to learn that lesson through experience. God, by his grace, he kept me. Other people get deceived, fooled, and end up lost altogether. Verse 24. For now Jesus says, for as the, and you've heard me say, when you see those four as, they're like equal signs. This is an equal sign.
No.
Yes, Sister Cross.
It's got unmuted. It takes me a minute.
Okay. If you don't mind, yes, you would share.
I just want to say that this experience that everyone that sincerely made that journey, loved God, were true people that I admired greatly. I did not believe one minute that we could go to a riverbank and find the Lord. I just didn't believe that. But I truly know that everyone who went there did believe God. They loved God. So for people to say, oh, I wouldn't fall for that, it's so easy to be deceived, and maybe even easier when you do love God and you really are seeking him. Mm-hmm. So just think that it can happen to you. But we just have to stay so close to the word of God and just say, Lord, lead me by your spirit. Lead me by your spirit, because your spirit is truth. And then we will not be deceived, because, you know, when we look at Jim Jones and several of the people who have followed these cult leaders on TV, you say, how could that happen? Yeah. How could they do that? It is so easy to be deceived. And like you said, with the journey that we experienced, them, and we know for ourselves, but so many people who may be listening might say, oh, I would never fall for that. It is easy to be deceived if you begin to follow people and not follow the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God lead you. And with that, I'll turn it back over to our teacher.
Thank you. And I would also
try to
add,
put myself back on mute.
If you can't, just be quiet. And I would add to that as well, we love the Lord, and he kept us. Now, how everyone's story ended, I don't know. I don't know that. But that's part of my story. And I was going to say something else, and it's not coming back. Oh, what I was going to say was, I've learned the importance of being humble and humility, and to say, I don't know it all. Lord, if I'm going the wrong way, lead me, guide me. You know, I've learned to say, this is what I believe, and this is why I believe. Now, some things I know that I know. I know, no doubt about it, I ain't questioning it. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth, he's the life. You got to come by his blood, the blood of the crucified Lamb of God. Crucified, buried, and risen. He is risen from the dead. This I know, and this is my foundation. This is the foundation on which I stand, is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible opens up with Satan coming to do what? Deceive. He comes with, quote, Bible in hand to deceive. And he still uses that weapon. So those of us who are in, we love the Lord. Yes, we do. I believe you always say, yes, I love the Lord. But that's even a further sign for us, be careful. I'm not saying we got to walk around fearful. All I'm saying is we have to walk humbly with God. We have to walk humbly with him. Because, see, that's the problem with the Pharisees. And that's what the devil came on the scene with. God's holding back something from you. You can know more. Well, we seek to be humble with God. We ain't trying to get more, per se. We're trying to get more Jesus. We want to know more about him. We want to grow closer to him, but we want to remain humble before the throne of grace. Because if we seek to lift ourselves in any way, that's why I keep saying over and over again, it's about God, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's your kingdom, your will, for thine is the glory. Thine is the power. Thine is the majesty. Well, if someone is lifting up themselves, or lifting up a building, or lifting up a church, or lifting up a personality, warning sign, it ain't about us. It ain't about Velma. It's not about what I believe. It's not about what I do or any of these things. You all, we seek to do what? Glorify God. Mm-hmm. And the minute you get away from that, now we're entering into dangerous territory. So we want to make it our goal and we want to grow. Time is almost up, you all. Grow into, Lord, keep Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Amen.
Be thou my everlasting portion. You know, and we want to grow in grace. But you got to stay humble. And that's where you have to say, God, to you be the glory. Thine mm-hmm. is the kingdom. Thine is the power. If I'm trying to lift myself up, that's room for the devil to come in. And believe me, he uses it. So in our last 2 minutes here, let me keep going because we use all our time. Verse 24. So Jesus already told us in verse 23, warning, 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 don't follow them. I'm telling you, don't follow them. This is how it's going to be. Verse 24, this is how it's going to be when Jesus comes. For as the lightning, that's your equal sign, it's going to be like this. Well, how is it going to be, Lord, when you come? The lightning, it flashes out of one part of heaven, shines to the other part under heaven. That's how it's going to be when the Son of Man will be in his day. Our time is up, so I'm going to end right there. But it's my clock says 7:28. I'm going on. So verse 24, as the lightning, and you all can look at this passage closer this week. I invite you to do so because it's going to go on. Verse 25. It tells you right there, but first, da-da-da-da-da must happen. Da-da-da-da what's happened. And we are in part of verse 25, even now. Even now, we're living in part of, we're experiencing and living, even now, verse 25, in part. It depends on what angle you're looking at it from. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we bow down before you in all humility. We bow before you in reverence. We bow before you, giving you the glory. We thank you for being our heavenly Father. We thank you for Jesus, our shepherd, and the Holy Spirit, our guide. And you will be our guide, even unto death. and we have different journeys, different experiences. And I know there's much that could be said and shared by others in this class. Maybe at some point we'll have the time to do that. Until then, we ask you to be with us through this week. Keep us close to you, Lord God, and keep us in your care until we meet again. In the name of Jesus, we pray on one accord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Sister Velma.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To the Lamb. I heard Brother Jordan's voice. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. There's more that can be said, but I ain't telling it all. You can't tell it all. And some of it's not meant to be told.
Right.
It was part of your experience. And some of it, you just better be quiet until the appointed time. And you have to be wise in what you share. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
Have a blessed week, everyone.
God bless you.
You too.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to the mothers.
Uh-huh. Happy Mother's Day.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless you as well. God be with you until we meet again.
Amen.
Next week we'll be in Luke 17.
All right. Stay humble. Stay humble, everybody.
Yes.
Be blessed, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye now.
We meet again.
Amen.
Thank you, readers.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.